in. So let me just ask you, can you tell me a little bit about your background?
Okay, so I founded Financial Education Associates about 18 years ago, mm-hmm. to provide home buyer and financial education, homeowner mm-hmm. education. So as an offshoot, I started doing the financial ed. So home buyer ed was the first priority mm-hmm. for me. It's one of the requirements in our state for first-time home buyers to get our really excellent mortgage products. Mm-hmm. But then in doing that, I found a lot of people needed help in getting their money straight. So I started doing financial ed and counseling for people who wanted to do entrepreneurship, education, and retirement.
Oh, that's excellent.
So that's, you know, that's pretty much my population.
Okay.
So our services include in-person home buyer classes and homeowner classes, and online home buyer and landlord education classes, and online counseling and coaching. So we serve pretty much a lot of people in the state, and it bleeds into sometimes people call in from other states, reach out from other states because the landlord class is the Fannie Mae, mm-hmm. and we provide counseling with it, and some people like that. So we get people even from out of state sometimes for that.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good to know. So if someone needed that education or counseling, is this like a paid service?
Yes, yes. Everybody pays something for everything. We are a 501c3, mm-hmm. so our in-person classes are $25 for the 8-hour classes. Our online classes are $175 for the class and $25 for the one-on-one counseling session. Mm-hmm. So it's a pretty good deal because you get to talk about your situation, and it's online, so we look things up. Mm-hmm. You get some internet information also. And people tend to enjoy that because it's not a 9-to-5 service. Like I did a counseling session 7:00 last night. We will go up to 9:00 some nights. Mm-hmm. We set the schedule, let people know what we're doing. And so that works out well.
Perfect.
And so on the personal side, I've lived in Boston all my life. Mm-hmm. I've been a lot of places, mm-hmm. but this is home.
That's home, yes.
This is home.
Same way. Fly,
wherever I go, I fly back to Logan and come home.
Yes, yes. Well, I'm a native Houstonian, and I'm still here.
That's
I travel
right.
other places, but I was born here, and I'm still here.
I'm with you, girl, and there's really nothing wrong with that. As long as you see something else, mm-hmm. you don't have to leave.
Yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. I love it. So, how did you get interested in personal finance from the start? I know you said,
okay. So like, it's always kind of been a thing for me, mm-hmm. even before, cause I'm a grown up.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Even as a kid, I like to save. Mm-hmm. Back in the day, my mom and my grandmother used to leave the money for me to go to pay the bills mm. after school. So that used to be my, go home, get the envelopes, make the rounds to the utilities, and head back home on the bus.
Wow.
So I was always involved in the family's finances from that perspective, mm-hmm. and developed a love of home ownership through the real estate pages when I was a kid.
Ooh, okay, well, starting young.
I was 30. I'm a nerd. I own it.
Right. Might as well. Do own it, girl.
I own it. But when I really started getting into modern day stuff, mm-hmm. Like we bought a house in our 20s. All my friends are like, why'd you do that? And it's like, because I always wanted to do it, so I did it. Mm-hmm. And then, I started doing the financial education work and homebuyer education work through a part-time job. One of my friends that I helped her buy her home. She said, oh, they need help. They want, I said, they have teachers that do that. Mm-hmm. I mean, I could teach the whole world how to do this. So they hired me, and, about I did it for about 5 years. And then after that, the person gave up the contract. And then I got myself together and got that contract. So, you know, we've been doing it through the city for, oh my gosh, 18 years.
Wow.
And so that's how I got into it. Mm-hmm. And so that's how I got into it for a job. But we all know that, you know, we do things for a job, and then some of the things that we're teaching shines a light on our life. Mm-hmm. We have to mm-hmm. get some stuff straight.
Right. Absolutely. It's like you're going to teach it, you should probably be living it, right?
Right, right. You know, and, you know, at the time I got that job, you know, we were having some issues around money. So that job was like an answer to prayer as far as uh-huh. money was concerned. Mm-hmm. And it was due to a career switch. Like, mm-hmm. both me and my husband changed jobs and careers at the same time, which caused the money to not be too
right.
great.
Right.
And it was difficult for us to pay the bills. Mm-hmm. And, you know, don't pay your bills, your creditors call.
Right, right.
And you're like, okay. So finally, one day, I just answered the phone. So what do I have to do? Right. What do I have to do? Mm-hmm. So I kind of really made friends with my collections people, you know, because reality, what I found out is they're people who need the money too, or they would not be doing this for a job. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. so if you kind of tap into the humanity of people and not holler back or swear back and all of that.
Right, right.
Sometimes they'll help you. And, you know, one creditor, the one that I was like, you know how you over limit every month because you're over limit and you get an over limit fee, so you never under limit.
Mm-hmm. So right.
They stopped my fees and they stopped my interest for like 6 months.
Amazing.
So that my payments went towards my debt. Mm-hmm. So that I could be okay.
Yes.
So, you know, I was floating in that. We made our agreements. I did what I was supposed to do and floated through that. And then, you know, with the mortgage and everything, I said, okay, what do we owe? How can we do this? So I tried to refinance and it worked. So the interest rate was lower than what we had, because this is like during the 90s when the interest rates had started to decline, because they were pretty high in the 80s when we bought our house. So the interest rates had started to decline and I was able to refinance and pay off all the bills.
Excellent.
And the mortgage payment wasn't anymore. And girl, I ain't never did that stuff again.
Right? Yes.
I have not ever done that again. But one of the things that I learned is that other people didn't know you could do this.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the things that really inspired me with the financial education, especially people, you know, that just kind of totally messed up their money, didn't realize that there's a way out. And that the people who sound so horrible on the phone couldn't have like an ounce of humanity to help them get out of the situation.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the reason why I got into teaching it, because mm-hmm. people didn't know that. A lot of people didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how I really got into it, and looking at it from the perspective of there's a lot of things that people just don't know.
Right. Absolutely. And I love that you said you answered the phone, because you, and that there was no screaming, because, you know, you catch more flies with, what's the expression, with honey. And that is so true, because people are more inclined to help you when you're nice to them, you know.
When you're normal. Right. You know you owe the money, let's talk this out.
Right, right. Well, perfect. So, you know, that's something people definitely should take away. You know, answer the phone, talk to your creditors for sure, because, you know, the problem isn't just going to go away on its own magically.
Well, on the plus, you can call them first if you know you're having a problem.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If you're having a problem, call them first. Like, if you, like, I didn't even think about that, because your first thing is denial. Like, this can't possibly be a problem. And then now you're like, oh my God, how am I going to fix this? But if you know you're about to have a problem, like a job loss or a work stoppage, like we saw last year, call somebody first. Don't wait until they're calling you. Because you get a whole different group of people if you call first.
Right. I think you're right. Absolutely.
You're not in collections if you're calling first. You're talking to customer service.
Right.
You
know?
You wait till they call you. You call. They call them from collection. And even worse, you know, they might be calling from a collection company to whom they already sold the debt. Mm-hmm. And those people aren't, no, they, that's not what they're in it for. They bought a debt that they're trying to get money from. It's a whole different vibe. They're not trying to maintain a customer.
Yes, absolutely. That is so true. So yeah, that's a key takeaway. I mean, definitely call them first and certainly pick up the phone and, you know, start trying to, you know, work it out as early as possible, you know, because like you say, as it progresses, you know, the situation gets worse. You're talking to a whole different set of people and, you know, it's better to be proactive.
Exactly. Exactly.
Well, great. That's good. So what else I wanted to know is, with the people that you're educating, what have you noticed are their like biggest money challenges or biggest money mistakes?
Well, one of the biggest mistakes, because, and I get requests for it all the time, can you fix this for me? Mm. And the answer is no. Mm-hmm. You go fix it yourself, because, you know, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau allows you the access to fix this yourself. Mm-hmm. And trust and believe, if you fix this yourself, you're not doing it again.
Right.
If I fix it for you, you know there's a fixer. Mm-hmm. And personally, I don't want to go. That's not what I want to do with my time. Fix other people's credit. Disseminate information anytime. Fix your problems? No, not my thing. But I find that fixing things yourself is the best. And then also not believing that they, in their own capacity to make change. Mm-hmm. You know, they're thinking about, if you look at your credit report and you have 4 or 5 overwhelming things, you can't see the small step. You just see the elephant, you know?
Yes.
You need to, okay, this is my problem. So if you need some help and people working, you know, working with you to figure that out, then that's cool. But, you know, you really need to make small changes, but the people don't believe they can. I've had, no, I can't do that. No, it's like, well, you know, I'm not telling you to cut your cable off. I'm asking you to look at your situation and pick one thing. Mm-hmm. You pick the thing. I'm not picking the thing.
I like that. That's right.
I don't pick the thing because that's not my life. You pick the thing. You pick the thing where you think you shouldn't have been spending this kind of money on it. So,
yes.
And then the other thing is, everybody creates beliefs and strategies based on myths and legends. You know, I thought, I heard someone said, and here's the thing, there's so much factual information out there. Why bother with the myths and legends? Anytime somebody tells me something, I go out and I research it myself. There's credible financial information in Consumer Financial Protection Bureau in any states. Attorney General's office, Consumer Affairs office. So there's a lots of places where we can get factual information, but everybody is going with the myth and legend. Like before the internet, I could see that. Now there's no excuse.
Right.
And my friends laugh at me because people talk to me, I'm Googling under the table. Is that true?
Right.
You know?
Absolutely. Yeah. I love that. And you know, I love that you say, that they need to fix it themselves, because you know what? That goes back to mindset. It's like, if you think you can't, then you never will. Mm-hmm. And if you don't change your actual thinking and the actual, you know, actually learn something, you know, then you can just keep making the same mistakes. And like you said, they just go right back to you and say, hey, can you fix this for me again? It's like, well, they didn't learn anything.
Right.
So, you know, I love that. And I like that you said that, you know, when you also said about, they pick the thing that they can cut, that goes back to what I've been hearing a lot about recently is, I've been doing it for years. I just didn't know it had a name called spending intentionally or intentional spending.
Right,
so
right.
It's like you pick the thing that you can do without or that you need the least. And, you know, you can keep the thing that you love the most, but we got to cut somewhere. So you exactly. pick where, and you can make those small changes that can actually, you know, lead to big, big results.
Right.
Get you
right.
closer to where you want to be.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Because I mean, when I first started, one of the famous things, oh, you should cut the cable. Mm-hmm. Well, if people don't go nowhere and all they do is watch TV all their life, how are you cutting up the thing that you're doing, you know?
Right, right.
There's other things that may make a bigger impact than that and cause less pain.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Because people don't do the painful thing. They just Mm-mm. do not. Mm-mm. They don't. Mm-mm. Yeah.
Well, great. Thank you. And tell me now, what do you feel is the most rewarding part of your job in educating people?
When people actually buy a house. I had one person that was in my classes. Our certificates expire every 3 years. Mm-hmm. And through taking classes, making up classes, over 11 years, this woman had met all of our instructors. We all knew her by name.
Oh, my goodness. Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And finally, she bought.
Oh,
my gosh.
Yes.
You know, by then, her kids were adults. You know, but it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. Because the other thing is you see people do stuff, but acknowledging the struggle, you know,
kids,
one of her kids went to college. Was in an accident, had a brain injury as a result. So all these things she went through, and finally she still got there.
Yes.
Now, a lot of times it doesn't take someone 11 years, mm-hmm. but that really touched me. Also, I have another friend, I was working with an organization that says, how all these people end up being like your family. I said, mm-hmm. just because that's how it is. But she liked going to the club. Now, she didn't have cable at all. But
that wasn't her thing. She didn't need cable.
That wasn't it. Like a cable. Okay, not a problem. But, you know, oh, and you need to start going to the club. It's like, what? That was her thing. So she opened an account with a club budget. Mm. And when the money was gone from the club budget, she couldn't go to the club anymore.
There you go. I love it.
She was one of the first people in that cohort of people that I was doing that class for mm-hmm. that bought a home.
Wow. There you go. So now, she created a budget just for her clubbing. And then right. once that was gone, no more clubbing for that time frame
that
or month or whatever.
Yeah, mm-hmm. no more for the month.
I love it.
So it's not about me or anyone who's doing money counseling and coaching to tell people how to do it. You need to save money. That's the thing. How are you going to do it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you figure that out. It's not up to me to figure out. You need to save money. And
yes.
so that's what it's about. You know, letting yeah. people make their own decisions,
right.
and their own goals, and not taking it on yourself as, you know, the police.
Right, right. We're not the financial police, right?
We're not the financial police.
So,
but we can create an echo in their head that they don't never forget.
I love it. Yes, they need that echo. They need Jackie saying, you know, you're responsible for your financial choices, you know.
Exactly.
Rolling around in their head. Absolutely.
That's right. That's right.
It. Well, that's excellent. So it sounds like you're saying that earlier that maybe one of the particular mindset that kind of get in the way of people taking control is this idea that they can't, or that they maybe that they have you know, you to fall back on. Would you say that's accurate? They have this I can't mentality.
Right, right. I mean, you can't fix anything for anyone.
Mm-mm.
You can be supportive, mm-hmm. but you can't fix it. Mm-hmm. I always agree to be supportive. You can shoot me an email, and believe me, most people don't.
Mm.
So even if you offer yourself up to just shoot me an email if you're having a problem, your inbox isn't going to be totally full.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Now, if you tell them to call, your phone, your voicemail will be full. But okay. I'm going to write you something.
That's too much effort, right? Too much effort to actually have to write that text or email.
There you go. So, but there are a few people that keep up with me, and there are a few people that I reach out to because I think about them. It's like, how you doing? And they might be good and they might not be good, but you know, every now and again, if somebody touches your mind, you really should kind of reach out.
Right. Absolutely. We all need those connections and you know, and that support, you know, and just to let someone know that I'm thinking about you and I just want to check in and see how you're doing.
Exactly.
That's excellent. You know, I'm a registered nurse, so, you know, I have a compassionate nature anyway. And, you know, it's just, and so I believe in, you know, making those types of supportive outreaches to people to just check in, you know, because sometimes that's all people need. They just want somebody to care.
Right. Does it matter?
Yes.
I mean, and just that every now and again, and sometimes it's like years go by, I don't even think of somebody, but you know, some people end up on my LinkedIn or my Facebook or something, so I still can connect in some way and say, hey, because I don't ban people from that, you know?
Right, okay.
You can be on my Facebook, and sometimes they bring their friends. I have a group. Sometimes they bring, you know, invite their friends to join or share information with their friends. It's like the more the merrier. Mm-hmm. But, you know, just to check in and, like, see, you can kind of see it in their life, how their life is going a little bit and see how they're doing. But, you know, and that's important. It's important for you to just care about what you've done enough to look back at it.
Right. Absolutely.
And also to let them know that you care, because that's going to help your client base too. It's like, oh, yeah, she checks in on me and blah, 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 blah. So
absolutely. Now, I know part of your, so in your financial education, you deal with retirement too, helping people with retirement as well. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's kind of like an interesting offshoot. My very first job ever was in pensions. And so that was, so retirement from a very young person was fascinating to me. So I kind of, you know, things that I'm interested in, I keep looking out for and seeing, you know, what changes are made exist. But yeah, retirement is important for a number of reasons now, because there are a lot of people retiring. And also when you are in your 50s and you lose your job, it may not be easy for you to get another job, and your easiest access might be to quote unquote retire and have access to your retirement money.
So I was gonna ask, like for women in particular, what things should they be doing before they get to that point to be preparing for retirement? Do you have any tips or suggestions? Okay.
So the biggest thing is to educate yourself on what your income in retirement will be. And that would include any pension, Social Security, and retirement fund distributions. Because, you know, I'm further up than you are. And so I'm with the boomers. So most of us at one point in time may have had a job that we are guaranteed a pension from. And, you know, because of consolidations, jobs closing, and all these different things, we may not be connected with that company anymore, but they still owe us that money. So, you know, my peers are, I'd always tell them, go back and dig for any pensions. If you've worked for at least 10 years somewhere, go look and see if they have money for you. And that's going to make a big difference, even though it may not be big money. If somebody's going to send you $500 a month for the rest of your life, that's cool.
Right. I'll take it.
So, you know, go look for your money. So you have that, and then, you know, Social Security, the rules are dependent on where you work. You know, My husband did part government and part in the social security system. So he will get both, but under what rules? And where can he collect? And, you know, there's all these different rules that you kind of have to stay on top of to know when you're going to get your money and how much you're going to get. So, you know, I live my life by Excel spreadsheet. Get something and figure this out.
Right. So it's really based on, so it kind of sounds like, just when you were mentioning that, kind of a little bit like the philosophy behind the FIRE movement, where they're like, you know, you're supposed to have the rule of thumb I'm learning is that, you know, you want to try to have at least 25 times your expenses to be considered financially independent. So that really, so now how much you need will determine how much will be, depend on what your expenses are. You know,
Okay.
the lower your
So
expenses are, the less you'll need, but you know.
here's the theory, the other theory. So first find your money and
Right.
your benefit,
Find that money, yes.
but pay off your debt.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Pay off the debt.
Absolutely.
My sister told me a couple of years ago, I got 5 years to retirement. I said, with that debt? I said, are you going to pay that debt off with your retirement money? And she's looking at me, never thought about it. I said, do you want to spend your retirement money paying off your MasterCard? No, pay it off. Work on that. While you're working, work
Yes.
on that, you know?
Absolutely.
Because, like you said, it reduces your expenses, stabilize your expenses. Are you paying for stuff that you don't want to pay for? Are you eligible? Because, you know, people give discounts at different ages. Everybody thinks it might be 65, but anywhere from 50 to 65 is different pockets of things that you might be eligible for. So, you know, get your expenses stable, because once again, as you just said, for the FIRE movement, you don't need to have as much saved if you don't spend that much money.
Right. You know, if your lifestyle is not grand, you know, spend on what you care about. That goes back to earlier. Spend on, you know, enjoy the things you care about and cut out the stuff that you that is not so important. And, you know, depending on your lifestyle would determine how much you would actually need to be considered, you know, financially stable. So
And then the next big thing about, and the last big thing about retirement is figure out what you're going to do with your time.
Yes. Well, you can do whatever you want to do. That's the
But
good
see, here's the thing. While you're working, you can think of a lot of things that you want to do. Most of the people I know that retired are pretty good with that for 3 months before they said, okay. Closets are clean. Clothes are taken to Goodwill. I fixed this. I fixed. What the heck am I going to do? Especially where people are, you know, back in the day when you were 65, you weren't able. 65-year-old people can do a whole lot of stuff now. They can go places, do things, volunteer. I know so many people that go back to work 2 days a week because what am I doing with my time? I have no obligations, no anything to do. That mess will kill you. People to interact with. You're a nurse. Just imagine what it's like to just like do nothing
Yes,
for
I
years
know.
on end. For years on end, not hours, years on end of nothing. Nobody to hang out with, no hobbies, no nothing.
Oh, you definitely got to do something. I say that's your time to pursue what you love. You know, figure it out. Maybe you haven't, you know, maybe people haven't decided what they love, you know, but maybe there was something. Sometimes you got to dig deep, you know, something that you enjoyed back when you were a kid. You used to like to write, but it never went anywhere. You liked to draw, you liked, you know, designing clothes, or you liked, you know, baking. You know, maybe there's something that you used to do that you got away from because life, everything else in life happened, and that's your time. And that still goes back to the FIRE movement, because my thing is, it's not so much the retire early portion, I've learned it's the work optional, or the do what you love. That's what I like to call it. You know, once you're financially stable, then you can do what you love. You know, you don't have to do
Correct.
what you have to do, you know, just to pay the bills or because you're stressed with debt.
Right,
You can
right.
actually go pursue the thing you enjoy, because I'm trying to get, I've become a proponent of FIRE, and I'm trying to get to the financial independence, but I want to do what I enjoy, not necessarily retire. I still want to do things. I just want to do what I want to do or the thing that I'm passionate about. So,
but you know, those, you know, like I, you know, as an older person, I watch the FIRE movement and I says, okay, thinking about my own life, I left my regular full-time go to work every day job when I was 37 years old.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I can fully appreciate that age and desire to say, let me retire. Mm-hmm. But I also have a family. My father passed this past June at almost 95 years old.
Wow.
What the heck would I be doing for that? What? Almost 50 years. Almost 50 years retired. It's like, as is, my dad retired from his, he was a minister. He retired from his secular job at 55 and from his ministerial job at 70. Mm-hmm. He lived 25 years mm-hmm. past the ministerial job.
Right.
20. And he was already old then. He had already stopped the other job 15 years prior. 40 years retired. Well, he only worked, you know, he worked 40 years before that. Mm-hmm. It's like, what are you going to do at 37 mm-hmm. if you got the potential to live to 95?
Right, right.
You don't see 95 at 37. I know I didn't.
Right.
But it's like, mm-hmm. yo, if you okay, it's going to come. And that's a whole long time to just sit around saying.
Right. No, I think it's important to stay active, you know, well, physically as well, but also, you know, keeping that, you know, just for your own mental and, you know, feeling of self-accomplishment, or just, you know, having something to do and stay involved in whatever it is, you know. Yeah. I think it's definitely something that, you know, you need to have something to do. I don't think people, the way I'm hearing it, people aren't so much thinking, looking at retirement anymore as, you know, just, you know, let me go sit on a beach and sip margaritas. I mean, that's good for vacation, but, you know, then what you gonna do the rest of the time?
Right. Yeah, you know, but that's the picture everybody puts up for retirement. It's like, let's just sit on the beach, you know, but you know, you got to come home sometime and show your pictures to your friends.
Right.
You got to have some friends.
Yes.
You know, it's a whole lot of stuff.
Yes.
You got to come home sometimes. But, you know, I don't consider it retire early, but the financial independence mm-hmm. of that mm-hmm. allows you to do the kind of work that you want to do.
Absolutely.
And that's what I saw that time and time since. Like, this is my own business. I, you know, not working is not really an option when you have your own business. You always have to work, think mm-hmm. about work, mm-hmm. but the stress level is different. My obligations are obligations I have set for myself, not for, or, and now that I'm a nonprofit, maybe my board has set some expectations for me. I'm not really sure, because I'm still kind of getting used to somebody telling me what to do at any level.
Too much independence already, being your own boss.
But I've been like this for a lot of years. Mm-hmm. And now it's time for me to really think about the retirement that my peers are thinking about. And they mm-hmm. says, oh, when are you going to retire? I says, I don't do anything that hard. So, like, I don't know.
Right,
I don't know. But the thing
never.
Is,
that's what I say. Not when you're doing what you enjoy. I mean, until I can't do it anymore, I guess.
Exactly. So given that, you know, you can find, I have a lot of friends that know that they're not sit down eligible right now. Mm-hmm. And some of them are writing, one's writing a novel. One is, you know, there are people watching grandchildren because that's their joy. Mm-hmm. My parents watch my kids. My grandchildren aren't that young, so they can mm-hmm. watch me if they want.
That's so funny.
Well, that's how they look at it too sometimes. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there are options because people are still healthy enough and vital enough that you really can't decide you know, like, what is your definition of retirement, as you mm-hmm. said?
Exactly.
You know, margarita on the beach might be some of it.
Mm-hmm.
But the option of working from different places, the option of doing mm-hmm. something that you enjoy is a big part. And you'll be surprised how many people, their whole life is go to work and come home.
Right. Yeah, that's that's kind of sad to me, but that's because I have a different mindset. You know, I'm more of a creative, entrepreneur type of person. I like to be doing something, creating something, but you know, if chilling is what you want to do, then, you know, and you're happy with that, you're satisfied with that.
It's not really chilling because they're not really happy in that.
Well, see, that's the sad part.
Frustration. There's mm-hmm. a frustration. There's a loneliness in that.
That is.
It you
is.
Know? So, yeah, that's why people get really frustrated about it. But, you know, you always have to keep your head doing something.
Mm-hmm.
Something.
Well, let me ask you, what, since you're started your own business, what advice do you have for women in particular who maybe aspire to be entrepreneurs, but maybe they're afraid to take the leap, or, you know, feel they can't do it, or whatever their obstacles are? Do you have any advice?
Have some kind of plan. And some type of goals.
Yes.
I'm not saying that you gotta initially make a hardcore business plan. Because mm-hmm. I'm thinking about people who are just thinking about being entrepreneurs.
Mm-hmm.
So the biggest issues I see are people not thinking their idea through.
Mm-hmm.
Thinking that the business is going to fix their money when your mm-hmm. money has to be straight before you go in.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So say you need a small loan to, you know, get your website set up and mm-hmm. some supplies for your office.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing big, you know, just maybe a couple of $1,000, $3,000 or so. You want a Mac and a printer.
Type of thing. Right.
Because really now that's all it takes to start a business. Mm-hmm. You have a computer and a printer, you should
right.
be. You have no barrier to entry.
Right.
But say you need something to do that. People have this illusion that business credit is something that's apart from them.
Hmm.
But your business credit is your credit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so if you can't sign your name under that Jackie entrepreneurship thing on mm-hmm. that loan,
mm-hmm.
and because they're going to pull Jackie's credit.
Right.
Until Jackie's been in business long enough that Jackie has business credit,
mm-hmm.
they're pulling Jackie's credit.
Mm-hmm.
And so getting your money straight, and then when you do start, even if you're starting a small, register your business
mm-hmm.
and have a separate business account.
Right, right. Absolutely.
Do not commingle your money mm-hmm. because you might make more than you think sometimes. I met this woman who's a fashion influencer and she made some insane money, but all her money's all mixed up in her personal account. It's mm-hmm. like, no, you need that over there so that when you buy a car, and you don't have enough money in your regular account, you could say, well, I also am the owner of this business and we have these funds. And I earn this from that and I pay myself from this.
Mm-hmm.
Also, it makes a difference.
Yes.
You know, everybody's all worried, well, we're going to pay taxes. Well, if I didn't pay into Social Security all the years I've had my business, I don't know where I would be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, make money and do what you're supposed to do.
Right. Absolutely. I love that. And then I think getting that separate account is so important. I recently just became certified as a life coach. So I'm going to start a coaching business. I want to be like a money mindset certified life coach. So, and that's one of the things that I'm working on this week. And as I said, I'm putting my goal to get that done this weekend to set up the separate business account. before I even start taking on clients, because so that's what I'm right. hearing. It's important to have that separate. So right. you just validated
in
that.
In that also, to set up it as a business account, you mm-hmm. may have to register your business.
Yes.
So you register the business, you take the paperwork to the bank, they open the business account. It's got slightly different rules maybe than your personal account. Read the little pamphlet, mm-hmm. your little magnifying glass out.
Right. I need one. I need a magnifying glass. Print is getting so small.
Yeah, that print's shrinking, isn't it?
It is. Either it's shrinking or my eyes are getting worse, but I need a magnifying glass. Right. Yes.
So read your little print, mm-hmm. set up your business account, let all your money flow through there. Business money goes in, money spent on business expenses coming out. Mm-hmm. Get yourself a little business credit card so that you can earn points and whatever, so it kind of stretches your money a few dollars. Mm-hmm. And just keep that stuff separate so that end of the year, when it's time to do that Schedule C, boom. Right. You're not trying to dig things out from your personal.
Absolutely. So, good advice.
And so I'm glad that helped you.
Yes, it definitely helped me.
When you wake up time to do taxes, mm-hmm. stuff yes. separate.
Absolutely. Okay, so yeah, I wrote that down because that's important. Okay, so now, Jackie, so where can people find you?
Okay, so there's two places that I can be found. First, mm-hmm. there's my non-profit account. It still has its .com email address, but it's money-classes.com. So money-classes.com. That's the website where people can register mm-hmm. for classes, et cetera. Okay. And also, you know, reach me through that site. Mm-hmm. Also, I have a Facebook group.
Okay.
I don't have like an Instagram thing because I don't take pictures, and I don't have a Twitter thing because that's too much work. I have a Facebook group.
That's good enough. Facebook reaches a lot of people.
And it's called Our Money for Women Over 50. Mm-hmm. Now, if you're not 50 yet, I have not bounced. The only people I bounced were men. Sorry, men. Oh. But I have not bounced. One man honestly said that he wanted to join the group because he was looking for women. So,
oh my goodness. What? Oh my.
Life is hilarious.
It is.
You just got to be mindful of your stuff because they're out there.
Yes.
But Our Money Dash for Women Over 50. I have women of all ages because my younger friend said, you mean I can't be in the group? Yeah, you can be in the group. Everybody can be in the group because some of the information benefits everybody and some of it is geared towards, for example, retirement information is mostly geared towards people who are over 50. Mm-hmm. So if you're part of the FIRE movement, mm-hmm. it doesn't apply to you. Since I've been in my 30s, it's a whole different life than being in your 50s and realizing, whoa, I spent all my money sending kids to school, mm-hmm. all of that. Your real life has already happened to you, and now you're trying to figure out how to rescue yourself.
Okay.
And maybe it might be good for somebody in their 30s to see what happens when you're a parent or whatever and have to rescue yourself at 50, you
yes.
know?
Yes, so, I love it.
Everybody can join as long as you're a woman.
Perfect. Well, thank you, Jackie. This has been so much fun. I have really enjoyed
it. Well, I did too.